Welcome to the History of Lima Ohana Speaker Meeting at the Union Retreat. Will you please help me open the moment of silence in attic and still suffering, followed by the serenity prayer. God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Will you please have the reading of Why Are We Here?
My name is Wes. I'm an addict.
Hey, Wes.
Why are we here? Before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. We could not live and enjoy life as other people do. We had to have something different, and we thought we had found it in drugs. We placed their use ahead of the welfare of our families, our wives, husbands, and our children. We had to have drugs at all costs. We did many people great harm, but most of all, we harmed ourselves. Through our inability to accept personal responsibilities, we were actually creating our own problems. We seemed to be incapable of facing life on its own terms. Most of us realized that in our addiction, we were slowly committing suicide. But addiction is such a cunning enemy of life that we had lost the power to do anything about it. Many of us ended up in jail or sought help from medicine, religion, and psychiatry. None of these methods was sufficient for us. Our disease always resurfaced or continued to progress until in desperation we sought help from each other, Narcotics Anonymous. After coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. We suffered from a disease from which there is no known cure. It can, however, be arrested at some point, and recovery is impossible.
Thanks, Wes. Can we have the reading of We Do Recover?
Hi, Dennis.
When at the end of the road we find we can no longer function as human beings, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative, either go on as best we can to the bitter end, jail, institution for death, or find a way to live. In years gone by, very few have ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted to them more fortunate. For the first time in its entire history, a simple way of improving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all through a simple spiritual operation program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks for reading.
Thanks, Dennis.
Can you please have the reading of Just for Today, please?
Michael. Hi, Mike.
Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program called Try to Follow It to the Best of My Ability. Just for today, through NA, I'll try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid because it will be on my new association. People who are not using and have found a new way of life. As long as I follow that way, I have nothing to say.
Thanks, Michael.
I'm Max Brennan. I'd like to introduce our first speaker. His name is Lance S. from Simplicity is Key, through the NA from the Lima Ohana area.
Lance.
It's on. I'm an addict named Lance.
Hey, Lance.
We're going to do something different because we're self-willed addicts.
Right. Yeah.
Edgar and I were talking about this, and we figured we'd do this as like a round robin, share the experience together, and give you kind of the timeline of what happened and how we ended up being here at this moment today, which I believe we've all been rushing since the beginning of time to this moment. So I'm an addict named Lance.
Lance.
Well, I'm Ed, and I'm an addict also. Big one.
And there's some folks here that were a part of this journey. So listen, don't misconstrue any of this. We were asked to do this because we have the worst memory in the world. We're old as dirt. I found myself, I'm from Pittsburgh, born and raised, Southfields boy, and my first sponsor, Steve R., was a service guy, and so that was entrenched in me from the beginning, even though I never wanted to do any of this. That's very important for me to say, right? But it's saved my ass, and it's brought incredible gifts. So H&I was the only thing my sponsor ever told me that I had to do. Everything else was a suggestion. And he would always say, there's two choices, Lance, either work a step or go get high. And so that was the same kind of focus on serving too, you know. And in the beginning, I'm a doer kind of guy my whole life. That's how I hid, right? In getting stuff done. That's where I would get lost and you know, have different images and stuff like that. So I don't know how many years my ego was involved in service. Alright? Could have been up to 15 years. My clean date's October 28th, 1988. So I got 36 and a half years clean. But if you got up before 6:30 this morning, I believe you got more clean time than me. Because it's just for the day, right? Yeah, my sponsor got up 30. A funny thing happened on the way to recovery, somewhere around 6-7 years clean, you know, be involved in area, be involved in region, the helpline, start the live convention with some stuff, and most of all, the guys that saved my ass, people ask you to sponsor them, right? So I come from the school of thought that they show up to save your ass, not the other way around. And so I call them guardian angels. I found myself up here in the mountains, returning to the place I left with my tail between my legs, an act of addiction, going to my last rehab that I didn't know was going to be my last one. And I'm back in the mountains, and I'm making an amends to my wife, and I'm moving on a lake, and you know, building a house, and becoming a supervisor at the place that I left from. They hired me back as a supervisor. And you know, just remarkable stuff coming from active addiction. All right, at least for me, you know. But all image stuff, right? And all the meetings in Johnstown weren't happening. And it was a clusterfuck anyway. You pick up an NA meeting list, had all the rehabs listed, had counseling services on it, you know. It was a blatant tradition violation. You know, I think some groups were using both readings from both fellowships, and you know, stuff like a mixed message was going on, especially when I left. And that's the reason why I moved to Pittsburgh in the first place, because I found a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and became my home group, Better Change, right 51 in Brownsville Road. And that impacted me, right? So like my sponsor before me, I was an NA Nazi. For lack of a better term, I mean that lovingly. So I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I one disease, one fellowship kind of guy. And I found myself driving an hour to Greensburg because all those meetings evaporated, except one, High Hopes Group. Right? I'm looking at Matt. Matt's been a big part of this area from the get-go too. I didn't know that. So I'm driving all the way to Greensburg, and I pull off to the side of the road, and I started crying because I realized that I'd lost my entire we. Going to each meeting and nobody at the door, nobody at the door, nobody at the door, and I was overwhelmed. So that's when I met Tim in Greensburg. And I started going to that meeting, but that became few and fewer and fewer, and you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, month and a half, no meetings. My sponsor called me up and he said, we just had 5 meetings post at the region to be on the meeting list. Go see if they're for real. It changed my life. And I was reluctant, really, because I thought I was doing pretty good not doing meetings. You know, the boss and all that shit. And Sam had come out of Greensburg. Sam still cleaned the days in Florida. Sam came out of Greensburg, and he found himself doing a capital project, and he started these meetings. I'm like, so Sam was kind of the kindle, the spark, and I started going to meetings and. with helping Sam. And then the job was done and he was gone. And there was meetings, I got to tell you, there was meetings that I would go to and be the only one there and sit there and read a chapter and lock up and go home in the beginning. All right. And then some folks started filtering in. And the next thing we knew, we had the meetings that Sam started and High Hopes started to rekindle, and NA started to be born again in Johnstown. And about four or five of us, Matt included, decided to form an area. All right, now this is the best my memory has to offer, so it's the details are subject to revision. But so we formed an area, and you got to understand, we each had a home group, so to speak, but we all supported each other's meetings. So we had an area now that we were the trusted servants, but we needed the GSR to go. So we were the GSR and the trusted servant. So we were there as a conscience collectively. It's hard to fathom when you're that small, all right? So the greatest thing that I thought that brought tears to my eyes, when the motion was made to remove the vote from the area trusted servants in Lumhana, because we had grown to the point where the trusted servants that were serving the groups were just trusted servants serving the groups, and they shouldn't have a vote, right? The GSRs are the only voting members. So anyway, to make a long story short, we had our first picnic, because there was such disarray, there was such a mixed message, there was such a, there was arguments outside meetings. Yeah, Matt's wearing the first Unity Picnic t-shirt. Thanks, Matt. That's
yeah.
It was a dream catcher, and we decided to call it a Unity Retreat instead of spiritual
Unity Day
instead of you know, some other name. It's because we really had the need to unify, to pull together, and keep the message alive, and that spurred it. And I'm driving down 219 one night coming home, and I saw Camp Harmony Oktoberfest, and I said, oh, I wonder. So I pulled up in here, and I met the director. He's playing the guitar on a stump, got a big white beard, and he knew NA, because believe it or not, he was a pastor in Van Nuys, California. Whoa. And NA,
that's wild.
Yeah, it's wild. As soon as he said it, I was like the sky opened up and the rays came down. I'm supposed to be here. And I thought I was in control. And I went back, and the four or five of us, we made a motion to create a three-day event. 1 year after we had just our first picnic. So, were we grandiose? Probably.
We got robbed too.
Yeah. So we had fundraisers and all that, right? And the area treasurer, names held to protect the innocent. We're at the bank. The headlights are on the treasurer, and they're putting the money in the deposit slot. But when we went to look at the bank account, it was zero. And they had left. They knew when to cut bait. And when the new treasurer's like, I don't understand. Is there something? Are we at a zero bank? And we're like, what? And so that just pushed us harder to have more fundraisers. And really, the fundraiser was for our first helpline. And we actually had our own helpline here in the mountains. But so we got rolling, and in the midst of all that, we had our, with the helpline, we had a beeper, right? And Bob S. Was the beeper guy. And we're sitting in our, I don't know.
Church, yeah.
The church that's no longer there, down by Sheets, next to the YMCA, there used to be a church. It's now all medical centers. But the beeper went off in the middle of area service. Bob jumped up, knocked all the coffee off the table. We got a call. It was the first call, right? And then Bob runs out, and I guess he runs to the phone booth at Sheets because we didn't have cell phones. He had beepers. Who the hell is that cell phone? And Bob's calling the number back, and I'll turn it over to Edgar from here because he was on the other end, I guess.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Nominatic. That was great. Thanks. You know, I'm going to pick up from my beginnings and lead in, and some spaces will get filled, some tears will get shed, you know, because shit happened here, you know, and it hurt, a lot of it hurt, you know. But, so I'll start off. And some of the things I say, you know, I don't want you to think I'm grandiose for what I did, but this is what I had to do to get to where I am now. And I'm so happy I went through some of the pain and some of the happiness and some of the glory and everything, you know. So we'll start in 1985 when I walked into the rooms first time, you know. And it was interesting because it was an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. There was no NA at that time. Maybe in Pittsburgh, but in Indiana County there was nothing. And then after going to a few meetings, I ran into some people that wanted to do this. So we did. And sure as shit, in Indiana, the first meeting was made. It was Tuesday night, and Turning Point meeting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's right, first one. And we met in the Newman Center, and it was great, you know. All three of us made it happen. You know, it took all three of us and sometimes four. And the funny thing about it, we had this one person, because IUP College was right there, we had one person that kept coming to our meetings that was Overeater Anonymous. And she loved us, and they worked the steps like we did, you know? And so she was with us for many, until she graduated and moved on, you know? So as time went on, obviously, the same thing happened. The meeting of three or four people became the meeting of one person. For months at a time, I would go to a meeting, read my basic text. Mr. Coffee was with me, you know, and I'd have a cup, because that's probably all I could have, and dump the rest at the end of the meeting, lock the doors, and move on, you know, every day. One day, a person came to that meeting. I was so happy. It was incredible. I says, what are you doing right now? You got time? He goes, yeah, why? He goes, we're going to Pittsburgh. And like, this is a guy that's never been in a meeting before, you know. I dragged his ass to Pittsburgh. We went to a meeting. We came back, and I never saw him again. he said, now I ain't doing that again. No. You know? And it was sad. And then I realized that, you know, my being anxious, I guess, or, you know, wanting to promote, Narcotics Anonymous led to losing my first NA member, you know. And I think about that a lot still, you know, because it was like crazy. I wonder if he's clean, you know. I couldn't even tell you what he looked like. that was 39 years ago. So, but with that said, I had made a decision that my recovery was something that I was interested in. My wife was in a halfway house in Cleveland, and I didn't see her, so I started getting clean by myself. And well, that didn't work. I relapsed, and on December 29th, and then I started this journey again on December 30th, 1985. And from that point on, it's been nothing but anything but amazing, you know. When I first relapsed, I didn't tell anybody for 3 weeks, but I kept going to AA meetings, you know. I figured they didn't care, you know. And what happened was there was one person there that did care. And that was great, you know. He's no longer with us, you know, and unfortunately he made it like 8 or 9 years and he decided not to come back anymore. But he's not no longer with us anymore, so. And he was a driving force in Narcotics Anonymous in Indiana a long time ago. It's crazy. But so, like, you know, so things had to improve for me. So I decided to get clean in Pittsburgh. So every day, I mean, every 3 times a week, I would drive to Pittsburgh and go to a meeting. Saturday morning, wake up, Friday night, and there was one on Wednesday. I don't even remember what it was, you know. But, like, that's what I had to do, you know. And that's how I got to meet the people that I know. And that proved to be very important in my life because they all actually remember me still, you know. You know, when you go to a meeting, they start seeing your face over and over again. People start saying, hey, you know, this guy might be a little serious about this, you know. So let's, you know, let's go with it. So from there on in, when you get to Pittsburgh, you know, they push this service stuff on you, you know. So Oakmont, I ended up being literature chair, you know, stuff like that. And I did a bunch of other stuff with them. And then, you know, just worked my way up through. I did service into convention. I did service in regional, you know, all that stuff I did. And that's what developed my understanding of what this program wanted from me and what I had to produce to keep what I had, you know. It was a strange travel, you know. I went here, I went there, you know. They'd take me to Ohio for retreats and stuff. And, you know, and all this stuff was happening. And all this stuff I was absorbing and totally enjoying, realizing that, you know, this isn't half bad, you know. Being clean hasn't hurt me in any way, you know. So, you know, and it just went on in Indiana pretty poor for a long time. And then it just started happening, you know. And then the meetings started happening. Everything started happening. At one point, we had 3 meetings, and we went under what was known as the umbrella group. You know, we all had 1 GSR, 1 treasurer, you know, and then home group members, obviously, that chaired meetings and stuff.
What was that called?
The umbrella group.
Umbrella group.
Yeah. And then from there on in, that's, you know, another thing came in. I had knowledge of service, so I stayed with it. You know, I kept on going back to Pittsburgh, and we used to sit next on the north side, next to a White Castle hamburger place in a church that was straight, it was long like this building, real long, and there was so much smoke in there, you couldn't see the people at the other end. It was crazy. I mean, they smoked like chimneys. And I smoked too, so I guess it really didn't matter, you know? So, but that was crazy. That was crazy.
All the meetings.
All the meetings were, yeah, everything was smokers back then. Yeah, that's true, right? Yeah.
That's hot.
So, you know, and like I said, you know, it developed. I don't want to drag this out and make it any more, you know, about me or anything. I want you to know about what's happening here now, you know. So, like Lance said, me and this gentleman from Indiana, we said, we got to do something. I'm getting tired of driving to Pittsburgh. We heard about this group in Johnstown that was forming. You know, it's funny how word travels, you know, because a long time ago, you had to drive to Pittsburgh if you wanted to find out flyers about anything going on anywhere, you know, or if you didn't get it in the mail, you didn't get it, you know. So you'd go down to Pittsburgh, they'd have a whole bunch of flyers stacked on the table, you'd take what you want and take them back to your home group and stuff and share them with everybody so they can go to dances, to events, and whatever else happened, you know. But like, so, back to this phone call. We heard about it. We drove to Johnstown. We didn't know where to go, so we stopped at Sheets, and there was a phone booth there. You guys know what those are, right? Some of you might know. Anyway, you know. So I got on this phone booth, and we dialed this number, and I want to say within, I don't know, 4 minutes, this guy was standing next to us, like, freaking out that somebody called, you know. And it was Bob, and it was interesting. So we asked him, you know, what's going on, and where are you guys at, and he said, well, we're down here, you know, and we went down there, and we sat down there, and then, like, you know, it was interesting, you know, because I had some clean time then, you know, and it's like, you know, oh, this guy's got some clean time, you know, he'll help us out, you know. Well, it worked out. I mean, like, we put our minds together, we put our thoughts together, we developed all these things that areas needed, you know. $300 literature table we had. I think it's like $1,300 now, you know? It's crazy, you know? And he talked about the helpline. We had a helpline before Pittsburgh. And that was crazy, you know? I mean, Pittsburgh was calling us, you know? Using our number and stuff to call us and stuff. And that was also cool. But I remember the day this gentleman right here says, we ought to have a retreat. And we all laughed at him and shit, you know. We can't do this stuff, you know. And then we all looked at each other. Our faces grew blank, you know, all of us. And we said, sure, why not, you know.
Well, there was one guy that was opposed. That makes it democratic, actually.
That's true.
Very true.
I would have been scared if we were all on board.
Yeah. We're on board to make to start this thing. So from that point on, we put our minds together. We hustled. I think it was four of us, maybe on the committee, and we ran the whole show with 50 people.
I don't know. John was the first chair.
John was in there. You know, I mean, oh God, the names go on. We were
changing
29 chairs. You know,
chair and chair. Okay, I'm the treasurer of the retreat.
Cheryl, yeah, was it Bob Shumpty?
Yeah, Bob. Yeah.
I mean, we can't remember all the names, but there was, you know, we've had a different chair for every retreat. You know, so
Greg, Will, Cheryl.
Rich Liz
showed up when we started.
Couple years later, that's right.
Rich showed up and became kind of, we had a web guy that was at State College. We started our first website. And
what about Gil?
Gil. And Rich was back from his relapse. And the website was just abandoned. These guys graduated from Penn State and moved on with their life somewhere, and Rich picked that up, and later that blossomed into recording. Well, I think around the fifth or sixth year of our retreat, we started recording the meetings, I want to say. The first four, I'm looking at John, the first 3 to 5, we didn't record anything. We, you know.
We had Mike from Baltimore, and Rich took over.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yep. Confusing. It's a long time to remember stuff.
Yeah, so it's been a growth process. The cool thing is, while all that was culminating, Altoona always had some NA meetings too. All right, because at that time, when all this standing next to each other, talking on the phone at the same two phone booths was going on. Altoona was had Narcotics Anonymous too, and the Unity Retreat kind of brought some people together. So as we were forming during the first area, we said, we got to go over and see what's going on with Altoona. And that's when we met Kenny Mack and Art and Lyle and, John M. And their predecessors. And you got to understand, back before all this started to where we started to cling to one another, there was a lot of, I don't know how else to say it, except this is our territory, get the fuck out of here shit. Because I had heard stories of the region reaching out to Johnstown, and they chased them out of town. You know how it is, your home group, and the home group's in charge, in case you don't know that. I'm just to give you the service structure, right? The area is where the groups come together and do what they can't do by themselves. That's what creates an area, and it serves the group. So it's directly responsible to those they serve. And the region is a pooling place of experiences that the areas send that they can exchange what's working amongst them or new ideas and that. And they do some services, a convention, a retreat, a literature stockpile at the time. And even now, they're a literature source, but things are changing with, modern technology and that. But our first $350 that was stolen to get the helpline and the literature stockpile going, we were so excited that we had $350 worth of literature at our area, right? Today,
in the trunk of the car.
Today, our average sales monthly range from $700 to $900, literature going out to the Lumhana groups. A month. It's amazing. That's just, you know, and I think there's close to 3,000 on the table, or in the closet. You know, prudent, you know how we are with prudent reserves, right? Still got that little crack in that faith, right? That third step. What do you mean, third step? So the retreat, Rich's been going about, what, I want to say 4 years,
yeah.
But time is elusive anymore. I think 4 years, 4 years. And Rich did a lot of work because in that, some of us, me, my career dragged me away from Lumhana for a while, and I was up around Forest County and all over the state, you know, living away from home, coming home on the weekends, seeing my wife and kids, and so area service was the last thing on my mind, and the retreat. Right, but the retreat was a big part of my first 5 or 6 years with the area. So between 8 years clean and 12 years clean, the first half dozen retreats, we were all locked in. There was only so many of us, right? So sometimes we, 10 of us. I'm thinking Bud and Greg and John and folks, Edgar, Rich. Man, I can see faces, but I can't remember names off my head anymore. That worries me. But I got Gil around to straighten my ass out. and it's a beautiful thing to watch the groups grow. And I think, you know, right now we stand at 32 groups across our area. Before the pandemic, we were at 42.
How many miles?
You know, and State College was once a member of our area, and that got our website planted, those folks from State College. And John ended up in Dubois, Bud and them were up in Dubois, kind of Dave S., And those folks would drive all the way from Dubois down to Area Monthly, Indiana, now Reynoldsdale, and the folks out there that way are part of our area, and Somerset. These guys used to come out of Uniontown from the Saturday Nighters. Don't take your own inventory. But the Saturday Nighters, look, I'm going to tell you, the Saturday Nighters have been controversial since I've had 1 year clean. All right, so they do what they do, and they brought a meeting to St. Francis in the Fields in Somerset, and that meeting is still alive. It's not at St. Francis anymore. Hugs, not drugs. Sunday night in Somerset, still on Sunday night. And moved from St. Francis over to where it currently is today. But that's the oldest NA meeting in Somerset. Saturday Nighters brought it up. Mm-hmm. And then they finally joined our area. Now there was up to 6 meetings in Somerset, but the pandemic knocked us worldwide. It knocked us all, you know, NA got hit. Everybody got hit, right? But so Somerset County, Bedford, somebody in Twin Lakes was one of our members, and they started an office in Bedford, Twin Lakes. And they said, we need a meeting down there. So we went down, and some of us, Gil, Greg, me, Bob, we grabbed a box of literature and we started an NA meeting in Bedford at the Twin Lakes building. Right, in a room on the second floor. I can still see it now. You know, it was about as big as this spot right here. Right, you're almost touching noses sitting in it. Right? I think it was a waiting room to go see the counselor. And it was right across from the county jail. Ominous old building. But We said, we'll give it 6 months. Right? And of course, Twin Lakes was saying to their clientele that were court appointed or whatever, you know how it works, right? And they would say, you need to go to the NA meeting. We let everybody know we're not connected, and you know, we signed that slip for you, not for them, that kind of stuff. I think it's very important to say. So a lot of our home groups say that. If you need a slip signed, see us after the meeting. We want you to know we signed that slip for you, not for them. And I think that's very important. And make sure that they know we're not whatever evil demon they have in mind about who they're dealing with. Right? You know, we've all been there, I'm sure. But nobody came, so we left. But we left the box with all the shit in it. All the literature, the books, the readings, we left it. I said, nah, leave it here. Leave it here. Lenny came out of Pittsburgh, and she was from a women's sponsorship group that goes all the way back to Fran O. All right? And, because this is all, you know, this is, you know, third edition was just coming out, fourth edition. When Fran O spoke at Start to Live 8, and I was on the taping committee. Matter of fact, that's the first time I seen the Mad Aztec, was at Start to Live 8. He's running around as a member of the Additional Needs Committee. And he just stuck out to me. You know, these things I pay attention to today, but back then it was just like, eh, that's a funny guy. He's helping everybody. On the balcony level, you were across the way, and I'm with the taping committee, hucking tapes, right? And so Lenny moves to Bedford, and she finds the box and starts the NA Way, which is still a group today. And I think they flourished up to about four meetings, might be five, don't correct me. Today there's two, NA Way and it's a new group.
The new one that just started.
Yeah, somebody know the name, please. Nobody know the name?
It's
that's kind of Bedford, Somerset, Altoona, Kenny Mack and all of them were a little, didn't know if they wanted to join or not. You know, they had their own stuff going. They had like their own little inner group, and you know, some folks in Altoona are from the capital area, and they go east, where we were all coming from the west, tri-state, that kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And but sure enough, they like Edgar said, got tired of driving. And we centralized our ASC. In the beginning, we were called the Cambria-Somerset area, SASNA. Although I got to say, there was one member that said, we need to be the mountain area territory of NA. And we all looked at it and said, that's MATNA. So we call MATNA today as a hidden joke amongst us all. Like I said, 3-day event. Yeah, let's go, 3-day event. Ah! And, you know, our shadows were taller than our souls at the time. But, so Lenny was pretty instrumental in this thing we now know as Lumhana, that covers six, I got to say it out loud, Blair, Indiana, Cambria, Somerset, Bedford, five counties. Used to include State College and Clearfield. I'm looking at John. Clearfield? And we've all been area chairs. We've all probably been on each committee. We've all been probably something in every one of our home groups, you know, serving. And I think that's the thing mostly I'm looking at my sponsor to talk about here. You know, besides the history and the folks that, you know, we got all kind of stories about successes and challenges that are probably too much to talk about in the time we have. So, you know, if you come over a campfire or whatever, see us, any of us, or John or Matt, or anybody that's John M., you know, the folks in Altoona, all of us carry a story, right? And especially about how we come together to save each other's ass. And I think that's the important thing that happens. And that's the beauty of doing what I'd never wanted to do. You know, when Steve said, "You need to do H&I," I'm like, "What the hell do I need to do H&I for? I didn't even know what H&I was." Yeah. But it's funny how we use acronyms. It sounds like you're going to get high, right? My first sponsor's last name, not to blow his anonymity, but probably most of us know, was Rush. Yeah. And I thought it was cool that my sponsor's last name was Rush. How silly. I'm 38 years old, 36 years old. Rush. this thing that we do, right? Service. A funny thing happened on the way to trying not to be a self-centered, bottom-feeding junkie. On the road to selflessness, is it ends up still coming around to being about self, but in a different approach and light, right? And it's kind of like, all right, I'll do it. And I said to Steve, give me one good reason why I should do H&I. And he said, because you're the most selfish, self-centered son of a bitch I ever met. And I knew he was right when he said it. I wasn't surprised, but I couldn't deny it, you know. I think he threw in a couple other egotistical, sociopathical, embellished the story a little bit. They call that lying, manipulation. I don't know if Edgar's got anything to add to it, but like I said in the beginning, I serve today because one reason, and it's not in our basic text anymore. If you got the fifth or earlier, you know the story. It's our first story in our personal stories. And it's about a guy that traveled around and then hooking up and going, and they drove miles to stay clean. And even today, for me, I drive 50 to 55 minutes, 50 miles, to serve area in some capacity, whether to be on a committee, to help count literature for an inventory, or whatever. I show up there once a month, 12 times a year. It ain't big commitment. And it taught me something. The same thing the coffee pot taught me. I showed up and I made the coffee for 52 weeks at my home group. Because back in Pittsburgh, you took a commitment for a year. All right? Yeah. Well, you took it, right? Now, a lot of home groups, they share the commitment 3 months at a time or 1 month. It's your turn to chair the meeting this month, whatever. You know, it's cool, right? Each group's autonomous. But what changed was I started something and I finished. There was no pipe dreams, there was no great out of the gate 3 months later disappearing, you know, and starting all over again with new dreams, new hopes, new aspirations, and wondering why they never amounted to anything. So N.A., the coffee pot, taught me about integrity. I'm going to say what I do and I'm going to do what I say, right? I'm going to show up. I don't want to. I want to go get high. I'm telling you the truth. Right? Even today, I will romanticize the first one. I forget the bitter ends. Right? And staying connected in service is one of the ways that keeps me grounded into, you know, the need for a purpose and to start what I finish. Got anything, boss?
Yeah, I'll take 20 minutes of fame now.
Okay, good.
How about the first retreat here?
Oh, well, we're going to talk a little bit about the retreats right now. Yeah, okay. The first one? Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a hard question, you know?
1997.
Well, yeah, that's when it was, and yeah. And they spelled the banner wrong and everything. Wasn't that the one that spelled the banner wrong and everything? No, I don't even know what
we're great
there.
At typos.
But speaking of the first one, there's a gentleman right over there that one day I was at work. And
his better half. Right?
And his better half. At that point, it was just one. And I was coming out of work, and he was delivering a friend of his to start college at IUP. And I don't even know how we started talking, you know. I don't even remember. That's how long ago it's been. But I had mentioned that there's this thing that we have up here, a brand new thing that we're starting and everything. And lo and behold, 29 years later, oh my God, still standing around. Isn't that amazing? That's crazy, you know? Something happened here that made him feel comfortable, at home, happy, you know, recovery-wise, you know? And then, I mean, we have a quarantine one going on over here that happened, you know? The retreat never failed. This retreat hardly ever, ever failed. Oh, sometimes we were upset because the numbers were a little low in the beginning, but you know what? We were here and we served to the best of our ability. You know, yeah. I run the lunch table. I ran the merchandise table, and I don't know whatever else I ran. You know, he ran the microphones, walkie talkies, whatever, and he ran around. John did the same thing. You know, we all did so much in the beginning, and. What I found out is that, you know, when you develop something and it's in your blood and it becomes part of you being something so important that's so recognized, it's hard to let it go. It's really, you know, I mean, I've walked away. I haven't walked away from the retreat. I put the sword down for service. I passed it on to people I know, I love. They're all here, you know. And they've been doing this. Now, if I had my way, I would change a lot of things back to the way they were. We don't have a lunch this year, you know? We don't have a time for lunch. What the heck happened there, you know? I don't know. I guess that's what they planned, you know? But we're having lunch anyway, you know? What the hell? Let's eat, you know? That's right. And all the things that this guy that was playing his banjo on the stump, you know, did for us in the beginning. Neil, his name was.
Neil,
you know?
Yeah.
And what he did for us when this gentleman drove by and just says, hey, let's check this out, was amazing because he gave us the introduction to a freedom that we didn't know about, that we had, that we are now discovering all together at one time. That is unbelievable. That is what makes this happen. Unity is the word we chose because we bring our spirits here and we share our spirits with everybody together. And that's where the unity comes in. Unity is important, you know. And I got to tell you, I've missed two of these. One, I was really, really sick and I had to leave because I was dying. And number two was, they saved my life and gave me a new liver so I could keep coming back, you know? And that was the only two I've ever missed. And, you know, I was in the hospital the day the retreat was going on, and I asked my doctor, I go, can I go, can I go? He goes, you've been out of surgery 2 days. Where the fuck do you think you're going? You know? You're going to stay in that bed, and you're going to get better. Well, I got out that, you know, a couple of days, and then Rich came over to my house with this card. It was like this big, and everybody signed it. It was freaking awesome. It was awesome. I cried. I hugged. You know, I was, you know, when you're missed and it's recognized, it's amazing. You know, I didn't know all the people on that card. I still got the card. It's sitting with all my stuff at home. I keep all my NA stuff at home. I got workshop stuff from the freaking 85, you know. I just collect everything, you know. I just do. And so just... It's just to say that this has lasted this long with people stepping up doing the right thing and being part of something that, you know what? I'll probably be long gone and this, you guys might still be meeting here. We didn't even talk to leaving this place. Remember? We talked about going across the lake to this. We saw this thing across the lake. It looked like cabins and everything, you know? Oh, let's go there, it's better, you know? Well, we never did, you know? We found out that this is where it happens. They treat us fairly decent, you know? I mean, now they've taken a few things away and given a few things here, you know? It's just like, you know, a bartering thing, you know? You know, we give them our ideas, they give us their ideas. Their ideas usually win because it's their place, you know? So, but like, you know, and you know, I mean, sometimes I hate to say this, you know, prices have gone up, but we keep it pretty okay, you know, as far as keeping the money part reasonable so people can come and be here. They built new cabins that would they share. Now, I think I've only been in one once because they used to have these little shacks.
Oh, yeah.
They look like outhouses.
They're up on the hill over there. You can build them.
You know, and we would sit in there.
Four bunk beds.
Yeah, we would sit in there until, 1 o'clock in the morning. After we'd start in there at 10 o'clock at night, we'd sit in there at 1 o'clock in the morning. Our treasurer couldn't count a fucking penny. We counted everything 11 times. 11 times, and we never came up with one number that matched, you know? But we loved them for it, you know? Me and Rich, we'd look at each other and go, what, again? We got to count it again?
Three times.
You know, a little, okay.
Then we said, well, the bank will count it and tell us what it
is. That's also true, yeah. And we drop down, we make the deposit, and we come back, and, you know, and then we all go to bed, get up, and do it again the next day. Over and over. It almost seemed like repetitious, you know, but year after year, the same people were knocking on that little cabin door, says, what's going on in there, you know? Can we come in? He goes, you're on the committee. And we used to have this thing, spaghetti dinner. I started a spaghetti dinner before the retreat story for all the people on the committee. I don't know if they do that anymore or not, but it used to be awesome. We'd have big old plates of spaghetti. We'd sit there, we all say, well, now it's in God's hands now. You know, we'd all say the same thing over and over every time, you know, because we knew that we couldn't control it no more.
That's right.
It was out of our hands. We would just let it happen. Whatever was supposed to happen, happened.
Like the fire alarm going.
Yeah, I mean, and so now, here we are, you know. I think for 30 years, me and Lance would get a present, you know. Oh, nobody laughing now? What the hell?
The president is the present.
The present is for us to be present. That is correct, you know. But like, you know what? I've had so many memories right here on these grounds, you know, that you know, I forgot more than I've had. You know, it's crazy. You people have made me one of the happiest people, you know. And this is where it gets shitty. You know, the important people that aren't here with us no more, you know. Fuck, that sucks. That's terrible. But you know what? The light never goes out. Never. We show up, they show up. They are here. Can't see them, you can't hear them, but they're here. And that's important. Very, very important. You know, maybe someday somebody will talk about us too, like that someday, you know?
Yeah, and you guys, Yin's guys, you're the show. So, like, when we got here, somebody was the show, right? And we just did what they did. The first chapter, Bob P. His story motivated the need to be involved and carry that message. The need to seek out other addicts to recover. So the gifts I've been given through service is what I learned this disease is all about. It wants to sell me short. It wants to tell me that it isn't obtainable, or after 3 months lose interest, right? That I'll work that step, but maybe not that one. You know, just all the stuff that I know that I've done in the course of my recovery to short circuit the gifts. And what I've learned is I get what I give. So if I want to get, but here's the secret. If I do all of that to get something, it doesn't happen. Right? It's got to be sincere, right? I've got to be engaged sincerely, kind of like the third step and so forth. It's a sincere deal. It's a desire. And then it doesn't come back when I want it, right? But it seems to be secular, right? I think the Beatles even said that. The love you give, get is the love you give, right? In some song. So I guess what Edgar's saying too, and probably the point we wanted to make is everybody is their own recovery path in Narcotics Anonymous, but don't miss the opportunities that lies in broadening your we, serving the still suffering addict. That's all I got. Thanks.
Yeah, and to close out too, also is like, you know, all the shit we go through to get where we are. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we step on people accidentally to climb the ladder. Sometimes we, you know, bad things happen around us and we try to forget them and we don't want to, you know. We come together to heal.
Work a step.
Work the steps, you know. I mean, I had a sponsor in the past. I had to rewrite the 11th step again because I just didn't have an understanding. You know, I didn't have no conscious contact. I didn't have anything, you know. Because after 17 years with somebody and they're gone, it's just, wow, it's devastating, you know. Yeah. You know, I was with him when he died, and that shit kills you, you know. But, like, you know, and so this is where we come. This is what we do. We have now embodied the strength to keep going on, to move on to, you know, what other people want us to be, you know. They see us, they show us, they taught us, you know, sponsors, are, you know, there's great sponsors, there's good sponsors, and this sponsor is just okay, you know. But, you know, but like, our learning is just, it's just ongoing. It doesn't stop. You know, no graduation in this school, but, amen. You know, you just keep going and going and going. Someday, with any luck, you'll flip that infinity coin in your casket, and you'll just keep on going. And that's how it goes. That's all I got.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.